Welcome to The Extra Pieces. I'm Richard from The Rambling Brick and...
I'm Jay from Jay's Brick Blog.
Welcome to our little podcast and come and join us while we talk about LEGO sets, things happening in the LEGO fan community and pieces we've stepped on in the middle of the night. G'day Jay, how are you?
Oh, hello. I have been worse, but things are better now, I think. We'll find out. I don't know.
Excellent. That sounds suitably cryptic.
Yeah. Quick update. I know in our last episode, and I know it's been a bit of a gap since our last episode.
For reasons that are about to become apparent.
Yeah. this is like the craziest thing that I've experienced, and it's honestly so surreal. So rewind to the last episode if you didn't catch that. My house got burgled and a car got stolen. I think I mentioned that we did get back the car in the last episode.
Yes.
So that was a relief. So for those of you who don't know, if your house gets burgled and people steal your keys and we still have like one pair of keys that aren't that we haven't managed to locate, what do? You go to the car dealership or the workshop and you go, hey, I need a new pair of keys and a new lock set, because you don't want to, you know, you don't want your car kind of like being around and someone just being able to walk up to it and just unlock it with the, you know, the key that's still missing. So we got our car to the workshop and they were busy changing the locks on the car. Then I get a call on the morning that I meant to go pick it up. And I know this is gonna sound crazy, and I swear this actually happened, but someone broke into the car dealership, went into our car. I guess they got the keys somehow, and they rammed it through like the walls of the dealership to get it out. So they smashed like a giant like glass panel, and I think they took out like a bollard as well. They made away with our car, and it is the Golf is well and truly dead after that. So it's dead, it's deceased. We've disposed of it. But
did you find the body?
We found the body. It was not pretty. Let's just put it that way. That was a very bizarre occurrence.
Can I just try and recap there? So your car was stolen.
Mm-hmm.
You got it back
miraculously, because in Australia, when cars get stolen and taken for joyrides, they tend to either end up in a ditch or crash into a tree or burnt out. So it was very lucky.
Your car was stolen. You got it back.
Mm-hmm.
And in order to prevent your car from being stolen again, you took it to the dealership to get the lock changed so that the missing key couldn't be used.
Yes.
And while it was at the dealership getting the lock changed, it was stolen again.
Yep. By different people.
By different people.
Yeah.
Because these people didn't leave the car unharmed. They were quite happy to beat it up a bit.
It was like a ice or meth like campsite in the car. It was pretty disgusting. Anyway.
You're never going to be able to get that cleaned out, so you don't want to go.
No,
you'd be grateful that that one's been written off now, Jay. Yeah. So you've been doing a bit of shopping?
I have been doing a bit of shopping. No one likes to impulse buy a car, but anyway, I've been busy on trying to sort all of that out with like the police and disposing the car and doing all of that. So, you know, please forgive me again for the silence. But yeah, just thought I'd give everyone a update. It is honestly like so surreal. Like it's already so rare for like houses to be like broken into and for cars to be stolen, but to have it like twice, like the car's 100% like cursed. Yeah, we've had the car for a long time. It's got like over 330,000 kilometers on the odometer.
It owes you nothing.
We had a lot of sentimental like value with the car because we've had it for a long time. It was our first car.
How long have you been married?
I should know this. 11 years.
Okay. So the car is older than your marriage.
Slightly older. Yes.
Slightly older.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, so yeah, we got the car in December and we got married in March. So yes, it was, yeah, we've had it for essentially, yeah, our entire marriage. So we've driven it everywhere to like Sydney, to like Adelaide. I was very disappointed that I didn't hit the tree on the odometer. We were just 3,000 kilometers short. So I was very disappointed to not get to that point. But yeah, I just feel bad because that's not the way we envisioned her to go out. But that's life. Very bizarre. Makes for a great story. And there's one tiny consolation. Mm. One very tiny consolation that is actually relevant to this podcast and Lego. So I actually went like to the shops to pick up some new like Lego sets. So like the Lego City space sets and a couple of Lego plushies as well. This was when they first launched. And I left it in the boot of the car because there's more space in my house. So the car boot is surprisingly good storage. And it was in the car when it first got stolen, but we managed to recover the car and the Lego was all still there, which I was quite happy, obviously. And in my laziness, I left it all in the boot. And so when it got stolen again, I was like, there goes my like Lego City space set that I was looking forward to building. So if there are no reviews on the blog, it's because it's gone for a journey. So in recovering our car, and the car was like smashed, the cops actually had to smash open the windows to get the people out of the car before arresting them. So when I went to like collect the car from the tow yard, and I was like, at that time, I was unsure about the condition of the car, whether all my stuff would still be in there. One tiny consolation, one sliver of hope and a silver lining was that the Lego was still in the boot. So I now have my space sets, thankfully, and plushies.
Fantastic.
They've gone for a journey, so I'll hopefully get to build them soon-ish.
Well, they're certainly fun. They're fun builds, all of them.
Yeah, I'm just glad.
I've still got a couple to get through, but on the whole, I haven't had a bad experience with any of them yet.
All right, car update done. I hope this is the last time I ever bring that up, but here we go.
We won't disclose the type of car that Jay has just bought because we don't want anyone to sort of be able to readily target it.
Yeah, because now everyone knows that I leave like Lego in the boot of my car, so.
Anyway, so plainly one of the things that happens when you're going through all of that, you don't get to build as much Lego as you might otherwise have done. And I know for me, March has been, oh, look, it's been a little bit of a trickle. We've built a few things that are all a little bit different to usual. But what have you been putting together, Jay?
I've been putting together a very big set that's coming out on the 1st of April for Lego Insiders.
If you've got your finger on the pulse, you've already heard about this set, of course.
It is the fourth Lego Ideas set of 2024. And it is a collaboration between Lego and Hasbro and Wizards of the Coast, which is owned by, Lego and Wizards of the Coast, which is owned by Hasbro. And it is a set that is designed to celebrate the 50th anniversary of a iconic tabletop role-playing game, Dungeons & Dragons. You may have heard of it. You may have seen it because it is quite large. It is quite imposing, and it is one of the most fun and unique Lego playing experiences because apart from it being a massive model, it's got 3,745 pieces, so it's a big set. It retails for $359 in the US and $499 in Australia, on the higher end of things. But yeah, it's a big investment. It's a big set. It's quite tall. I put it next to Lion Knight's Castle just to illustrate how sizable and how big it is. It's definitely got display presence. So yeah, you're kind of like looking at the set and its peer is Lion Knight's Castle, which is slightly more expensive, but they're, you know, I kind of consider them to be in the same ballpark of, you know, big, large castle type sets.
The difference being that you get 20 minifigures with one set and yeah. five with the other.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you get a really big dragon with Dungeons & Dragons.
Well, you do get a big dragon and you get some dungeon denizens as well.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's a very cool set. So full disclosure, I'm not a big hardcore Dungeons & Dragons fan. Tabletop role-playing isn't exactly my thing. I've played it like twice in my life. But my connection to Dungeons & Dragons is in the form of computer games. So I grew up playing Baldur's Gate 2, Neverwinter Nights, you know, so I spent a lot of my youth playing Neverwinter Nights. So that's my connection to Dungeons & Dragons. But I am a big Castle fan. And this is if you kind of look at it and you kind of just ignore the Dungeons & Dragons branding and characters and all the other elements there, it's still a very passable fantasy-themed castle set. You get a big tower, got all sorts of like brick-built creatures. You have a party of heroes that have to go through a quest. There's a bad guy in there. There's a big, imposing, fierce red dragon guarding the tower. So yeah, like even if you don't know anything about D&D, but if you're a big castle fan and you appreciate like the fantasy side of Lego Castle, there's a lot to. But the main draw card, and this was something that surprised me at how well it was integrated. So the main draw card is that this set is an entire brick-built Dungeons & Dragons campaign. So if you're unfamiliar with D&D, you know, you play with a bunch of friends and you normally have a dungeon master who is kind of like the omniscient, omnipotent guide that kind of steers you through the storyline and is sort of like the judge and the referee of the storyline or campaign that you're playing. And yeah, so Lego have really kind of built a whole brick-built campaign with different like chapters and different scenes. You have a party of characters. You get a cleric, a rogue, a fighter, and a wizard. That's a very classic, like Dungeons and Dragons.
Very classic party. Classic party.
Yeah, classic party. And you essentially, yeah. So you build a set, and the set has four different booklets, which kind of represent the four different, the different scenes or different components of the campaign.
So you could put it together with your party in a quarter of the time.
And you essentially just play through it. There's a companion campaign booklet that doesn't come with the set, but you can redeem it for 2,700 or 2,600 insider points.
That's if you're getting the hard copy, but I think you can also download in an ebook format, can't you, in return for scanning your barcode.
Yeah, and then you get like character sheets and all that kind of stuff, so all the stats and all the items and everything's in there. So if you play D&D and you love Lego, this set is really just custom built for you. And so, yeah, the set is, it makes for a great display model because it's quite large. There's a great mix of colors. It's got really interesting eye-catching visual elements like the red dragon Cinderhowl that kind of wraps around the tower. Mm-hmm. It's very colorful, like fantasy in at the base of the tower as well.
Yes, so it's got a striking purple roof, hasn't it?
Yeah. So it makes for a really like nice looking display model. But on the insides, there's a whole bunch of areas containing like equipment, items, creatures, monsters, all sorts of secrets and like D&D references there that you can explore as you progress through the story. So I was really surprised how well this was integrated in because this is really like a brick-built like D&D campaign.
Yeah.
So unlike a lot of modern Lego sets where, you know, the aesthetics or the exterior, the facades are kind of like the focal point. You do have like detailed interiors, but a lot of modern Lego sets are very cramped on the inside because even like Lion Knight's Castle, you know, it's a big set, but like the rooms are very small. The main difference here is that the interior spaces are they're not massive, but there's less stuff in there. Because you're meant to kind of, you know, build your own character in your party and kind of place them around as you go through the different scenes. So there's definitely that space there. The design and the build itself is, it's pretty good, but I would say a notch below what you'd expect from a big, expensive set like this. So it doesn't have like the finesse that you'd expect from like Lion Knight's Castle. Mm. Not to say that it's completely basic. It's just, I would say, just above average, like just a step above like a Creative 3-in-1 build, but not quite 18 plus Lego icons. So it's not particularly challenging. There's not many sections that go, wow, that's a really clever like build technique.
None of that
like
bind bending geometry that we saw with Rivendell.
Yeah. Yeah. A lot of the techniques and how the set is built is to facilitate play.
Yep.
So that means, yeah, there's a lot of space there. And yeah, it's not so much about aesthetics. So if you're expecting like a Rivendell or like a Lion Knight's Castle type build, you probably won't get as much satisfaction building it. It's still a really nice model because the exterior looks great. There's a nice balance of different elements and colors. The composition is great. But yeah, the build experience is, I guess, like also a bit more like accessible to like newer Lego fans.
You mean you sort of build it in a way not too dissimilar to the way you may have built your Lego sets as a kid, sticking bricks on top of each other.
Yeah, it's still very much advanced. But after building the medieval town square, which was very much an advanced Lego set with really cool, you know, facades and techniques, this one definitely doesn't quite. You know, that's if you like, you know, are a stickler for things like this. Because again, like the design itself really is the way it is to facilitate play and for you to kind of move your minifigures around and to explore different parts. So there's a lot of space because you want to like reach into, you know, different sections and, you know, pick out items and have your minifigures fight like the different monsters that you encounter. Mm-hmm. So I was very impressed with, I guess, the entire like product experience, because this is very much a playable, and even if you don't have like a party or you don't want to, you know, play through the campaign, it still very much invites you to play with the set, because there's like stuff for your minifigures or stuff for your D&D party to do. You can fight spiders, you can fight an owlbear, there's like different like potions and like equipment scattered everywhere. I'll try not to spoil too much, especially if you're planning to play the campaign. So I'm choosing my words very carefully here. But in classic D&D form, you fight enemies, you fight monsters, and then you loot them and you upgrade your party along the way. So there's a lot of that. There's a lot of exploration. There's a lot of going off the beaten track to find secrets, and shortcuts and all that kind of stuff. So it is a very fun experience, especially if you play Dungeons and Dragons. But even if you don't, there's still a lot to love about the set, especially if you love Castle, if you love fantasy, if you love Castle, this doubles as a great fantasy-themed Castle set. You put it next to Lion Knight's Castle. It's kind of like a modern-day, like, Fright Knights, Dragon Knights type build, but in a more advanced form, like, you know, the ones with was it the Dragon's Den set? Dragon Fortress, Mountain. Yeah,
that was just a lazy 30 years ago. None of this 50 year old veteran thing like D&D.
So it's if you enjoy medieval castle type builds, there's a lot to enjoy here. The figures are great. They're all exclusive. You get new printed minifigures.
Now, one of the things that people like doing when they're playing a game of D&D is they might have their miniatures sort of set up as an avatar of themselves. Now, we get players of both genders playing D&D. I'd heard something about the minifigures here that makes them a bit special.
Yes. You essentially get two head options. So you get a female or a male version for each character, which is very cool. Again, if you like customizing and building your own minifigures, you get a lot more options. The facial expressions are great. The minifig printing is and design is great. Again, they'll fit really nicely into your like Lego castle.
I've got to admit, I felt a little bit miffed when we got the press package for it, and I can appreciate the joy of being able to keep that a secret until the reviews came out. But it did feel a little bit, they worked very, very hard to not disclose the different forms of the minifigures in the press package. And I'd have thought that that would have been a great thing for us to be able to talk about when that set was announced.
And if you look at the, like, packaging, and there's a mysterious character that you don't quite see in any of the press pack or...
Well, you see their back.
Yeah, you see their back. So, again, that's part of the storyline. I don't want to spoil it, but that's part of it as well. But, yeah, and then on top of that as well, if you're not too happy that your class or... race isn't represented. Lego also announced that a D&D collectible minifigure series is coming in September, which again is great if you're a big castle fan and you want more medieval fantasy type.
Yeah, I think that'll be, even if you're not a fan of D&D and sort of caught up in the world of Evermore, that you'd be able to just go crazy with fig bashing your own characters, pull out the heads and the hands and swap them over to the class of character of your choice. Mm. And especially if they do that same thing with multi-gender heads.
I think they have to. They've already set a precedent, so I doubt they'll introduce like a bard and not have and not have the ability to swap the genders. So yeah, that is very cool. Hopefully we get a paladin. A paladin would be great. A warlock would be nice. Maybe a druid.
I mean, we've been able to sort of construct, a lot of these characters have had their genesis in other CMF figures from across the years. And while I quite like the idea of being able to just have a ready-made thing, and I can't help but think that this is a set that I'm going to want a box of just so I can then play mix and match.
Yeah.
You know, I think it's important to remember the great variety of figures that we've seen in just the regular CMFs over the last 10, 15 years.
Yeah, I mean, again, you don't have to use the existing characters. If you've got Lord of the Rings, that opens you up to plenty of dwarves, elves, hobbits, which I guess could pass off as gnomes.
Well, hobbits are halflings. Halflings are a character class in D&D all of their own.
There you go. You could tap into Lego Dreams. I think Lego Dreams has a lot of great equipment and a lot of great characters and armor.
And a lot of great armor and a lot of great colors and a lot of great hair pieces. Yeah. Absolutely.
Ninjago as well. So, yeah, sky's the limit, really, of what you can do.
So I was just thinking, have you ever seen Brick Wars? You know about Brick Wars?
Yeah.
Brick Wars is actually getting, I think I saw it's actually getting a formal printed edition this year, having sort of existed. Brick Wars is a role-playing game with very simple game mechanics where the primary goal is to ensure that your characters die in the most humorous way possible. And it's existed in PDF format sort of for the duration of my AFOL life at any rate, and which is now about 15 years. I'm sure it's been around longer than that. But I think I saw it coming soon to an online bookshop in real world hardback quality later this year. So that could then be another way to approach your D&D CMF set.
There you go.
Or indeed your new chunk of castle. So one thing I want to ask, Jay.
Yep.
If you had $500 to spend on Lego, would you go for, and were a bit of a castle buff, medieval life buff, would you go for the medieval town square and perhaps buy another $100 set somewhere, $100 Australian, or would you go for the Dungeons and Dragons set? Oh, actually, we'll make it easy, and then pick up something from Ninjago that's got a dragon in.
Wait, what are my options again?
Your options are the medieval market square and perhaps a Ninjago set with a dragon, or the Dungeons and Dragons set.
I would say Dungeons and Dragons if you're able to buy it on day one, because you can qualify for a mimic dice box. So a mimic is like a scary, like, monster chest.
It's a monster that can disguise itself as other things, and it's very common that it might disguise itself as a treasure chest.
Yeah, because as you're venturing through dungeons and you see a treasure chest, your natural instinct is to go open it and see what's inside, and then the mimic attacks you or attacks your party. You get that if you buy the D&D set, and I expect that will like disappear like an hour tops. So if you're able to secure the D&D set, I would say go for that in order to get the mimic set as a GWP.
Mm-hmm.
But if you don't have the capacity to do so, I'd say just wait, because I expect like the town square to go and sell. I think the Australian Lego Certified Store had an offer where they were giving back like $100 gift card for purchases of the town square.
I missed that one.
Days, weeks ago, which is quite unheard of for a set that's only like, you know,
a month
three weeks. Yeah, less than a month old.
Mm.
And generally, like, Lego Castle doesn't have as big of a fan base as like Star Wars. So it's quite a big set. So I can see Medieval Town Square being discounted down the road. Idea sets tend to trickle out to independent stores or big box retailers eventually.
Often after about 6 months or so.
Yeah, after the exclusivity period. So look, unless you really need sets, in this day and age, you can always wait for a big, nice, juicy GWP or a discount. So if you can buy on day one, I'd say get the D&D set, because even if you don't want the Mimic Dice Box, you should be able to get a pretty good price for it on the secondary market, because I see this being the Ulysses Space Probe, but on steroids, because it's just a red flag. It comes in that yellow GWP box where the manual is also the
cover.
The cover, the packaging design. All the bags come in like one random like Ziploc bag, which suggests that it's manually packed in a factory. So these things are indicators that Lego will only make so many of these sets because of manufacturing or whatever capacity. So
more likely to be 5,000 than 105,000.
Yeah. So I would say if you're able to buy it on day one, get the D&D set, because again, like, I expect this to sell out because of how cool it is, plus the GWP.
Mm.
So if you're an enterprising like Lego fan, you could make a bit of money off the GWP, and you could easily like resell it to someone that missed out on the drop, or if it does sell out in stores and online, you could get full price for the set as well. I'm gonna buy another copy just so I can get another Mimic Dice Box, and this is one of those sets that, yeah, even though Lego already sent me a set for review, I would love another copy for my collection or my archive. It's something that I would want to have in my collection because it's a very historic set, being the first Dungeons & Dragons set. It's a really nice design. And also, like, in Australia, the price is pretty good. It's $500 Australian dollars, which is a lot of money, but when you convert the USD or GBP price, for example, or even the Euro price, we're actually getting a really good deal on this, which is quite unusual. But I guess it makes sense because Lego Australia probably hesitant about pricing something above the $500 psychological barrier, so they had to cap it at $500 for a really big set. So yeah, like, I think it's a pretty good deal. Hopefully there'll be another GWP in April as well. Definitely want to get another like booklet as well for my collection. So yeah, I'm going to pick this one up on day one. Hopefully I'll be able to get a copy, because I see this one being
very
popular.
Australian price is, as you say, very well priced. A little cheaper than the US dollar on the exchange, but certainly about close to $100 Australian when compared to many of the European and the UK price, which is just crazy.
What about you? Do you see yourself being drawn to this set?
Tempted, but I have to work out where I'd put it.
Okay. Next to Lion Knight's Castle. Or if you have the Fright Knight's Castle, I think it'll look really nice next to that one.
I might need to explore these options. But you were talking about GWP, and there may be another GWP for April. April 1st to April 16, we do have the 40683 trellis flowers as a gift with purchase. The trigger for this is 150 euro, 150 US dollars, 135 Great British pounds, 240 Australian dollars. And there's likely to be another run in May, June as well.
Oh, fantastic.
Early April purchases are great in Australia because early May we have Mother's Day.
Mm-hmm.
This set is quite lovely. It's basically about 16 studs wide. You make a small wicker basket out of which you've got some vines climbing up a trellis with a couple of bright flowers. I'm not going to try and guess what some of these are. One almost looks like a hibiscus. It's not quite, but sort of a cool yellow hibiscus.
Mm.
We also have plenty of small blue flowers, sort of like the forget-me-not type of flowers. And then we've got some rather striking.
Could it be a wisteria?
A wisteria.
Yeah, they're commonly like used for like trellises, right? Trellises? Trellipodes? Trellis?
Doesn't look like a wisteria, just based on my experience with wisterias,
yeah.
Or indeed what Google has just produced for me.
I just saw like purple and I was like, wisteria. I could be wrong.
No, so this is more of a round flower with sort of the, I think technically bright light purple, although kind of a pinky 1x2 curved slope on a mounted on a clip that's then wrapped around one of the sonic rings, and that's then got a purple hub around it. So it's got lots of great little small curved slopes, both in cool yellow with angles there as well as these bright pink ones. There's a sort of bright yellowish orange egg in the middle of a white eggshell mounted on some of the Donkey Kong bright green leaves. And it's a remarkable amount of technique on this. The thing that really caught me off guard with this set as I put it together is the fact that it has a hanger attached on the back as well. So if you wish to hang it from your wall, either in the garage or in the living room or anywhere else in the house, you've got that option to just put a nail in and have this hang there next to your latest Lego art set.
Very cool. I really hope the GWP won't be delayed in Australia, but because if you can double up on that and the dice box, that would be pretty cool. Very, very compelling purchase.
I can't remember what the last year we had sort of a bowl, sort of like a globular pot with as a sort of a similar time of year botanical, but it seemed I think it was also a relatively restrictive buy-in price. Unfortunately, I just can't remember what it was at the moment. That said, look, this will be 120, 240. It's certainly not got a higher threshold than last year's. It's about the same, I suspect. You've got bright light green and regular green leaves and some green stems holding them all in place. Lots of bright green Technic connectors, as well as some darker green sort of connector type one, the one that sort of goes to an end point. And that's about it. We've got a lovely bright yellow flower, some smaller purple flowers. It just looks very simple and effective, and some dark tan 8x8 plates sort of with that trellis mesh kind of pattern held together with some plates running along the back and tiles across the front.
Superb.
I quite like it. It's a good-looking little set, and if you've got something that should be umming and ahhing, do I buy it next week or do I buy it 3 weeks later, it'd probably help me towards making the choice for this week. Have you been building anything else this month?
Yes, I have. I haven't built it yet, but I will tomorrow, hopefully. So by the time this is out, you should read my review. I'm building the Friends Space Rover, which I am very excited about.
Oh.
That looks like a sensational set. So I'm very excited. So I have a few friends. Like, it's going to be Friends. We're going to close off March and head into April with plenty of Friends in Space.
Fantastic. I've picked up the Friends space base and rocket set, and I'm probably looking just to have a little play with that at some point over the Easter break as well. The other space that I've had the chance to put together recently is the 60439 lab, space science lab, which acts as a companion piece to the 60434 space base and rocket launch pad. Mm-hmm. That first set, it's one of those omnibus sets. It comes with a crane, it's got a command tower, it's got a spaceship, it's got a truck, it's got a base that opens up to reveal a bit of a living area, a bit of a lab, a bit of a place to hang your air tanks. And then it's got a orange linking hatch, which appears in a number of the LEGO space sets this year, including on the modules that get carried around by the command rover and the modular space station. Mm. These modules will clip onto that hatch, and you can extend a corridor that goes between this and the new space base. Mm-hmm. The space base has got two minifigures. It's got a bright green helmeted scientist who also is pictured as having a wheelchair, as well as a repeat of the pilot of the interstellar spacecraft. However, on this occasion, she has no interstellar spacecraft. This set also is part of the interior detail. You've got a nice sort of cushioned space bed, as you'd sort of imagine it to be. There's a ring that your wheelchair-bound explorer can use to help to make a transfer. There's not a lot as far as minifigure accessories are concerned. There is a coffee cup. There is an extremely cute alien in one of the little Dreamlings forms who's got the space logo on a little space suit. He's got a helmet to wear when he's working inside the lab because plainly the human's air is poison, whereas they all wear their helmets when they go outside. The set's got a sliding door like the space base, like the more expensive space base as well. Mm-hmm. And indeed, there is another hatch on the other side where there is a small hover bike that a minifigure in a wheelchair is able to get onto and then ride around the new planet. Mm-hmm. I really liked this sort of demonstration of accessibility, and indeed the whole base has got got a few little curved slopes in to function as ramps, and indeed the front door of the model is an appropriate size to allow you to slide the wheelchair in and through. There is on the inside of the lab a large sort of tan dark orange structure that's almost like a mud pile, a termite mound. It's got lots of the purple gems in which are being processed and used into a power supply and some of the other sets released in the City Space 2024 wave. So pretty cool. I would like to see minifigures to have a few more accessories. I'd have thought it appropriate if they'd included a spanner and or some sort of a scanner or a metal detector, mm-hmm. just as something for these minifigures to do rather than to just sort of skive off their mates in the big base. I was just a little bit disappointed from that point of view. But that's, again, not really that much to gripe about. The set overall is about 70... Oh, it's going to be $80 Australian. It's going to be...
It's $69.99 in Australia.
The rest of the world, it is going to be priced at $35 US, £34, or £35, and about 40 euros, depending on where in the EU you're standing.
Well, we got shafted by the price on this one.
Yeah, no. So we got
$35 USD would be about 50-ish here. Oof.
Yep. Although we're on a par with the UK and Europe.
Okay, that makes okay.
Well, you know, they give or take a couple of dollars, but you know, this one and also the larger base both have got very strong pricing in the US and Canada. Like they're about 20-30% cheaper in those markets compared to the rest of the world. It's just a statement, just an observation. The thing that I love about this is the way that it really enhances that other space base to give it a lot more room, gives you a chance to expand it with the various modules.
Mm-hmm.
It will stand on its own, but it does feel a little bland because it's missing some extra accessories. The alien is really cute. It does feel a bit weird to me having the minifigure with the dark blue arms and helmet, which we've come to associate as being sort of the senior pilot from the interstellar spacecraft, and she doesn't have much of a vehicle to pilot or drive, so it does to me feel like she's a funny inclusion in this set. Perhaps she's canonically married to the scientist there and is just home for the weekend. I'm not quite sure. I'm just clutching at straws here to make a story out of it. But look, I quite enjoyed it. It's probably not the strongest space set, certainly not the best value for money in Australia, but it certainly has a good deal of sort of interesting play.
Mm.
And particularly if you've got the other set, which has got a few more accessories floating around it, I reckon it would work really well to expand your base into a fully fledged moon base.
Yeah. Look, if the trade-off is getting a very well-priced D&D set, I think we can, yeah, it's all right.
Yeah, it's swings and roundabouts. Look, we saw this as well last year with the roses, which were priced a bit more expensively here than in the rest of the world, but you could make up for that by buying the Natural History Museum, so long as it was a set that you wanted.
So, yeah, April is looking like a very small window, like releases, but some really potent ones. One thing that we didn't discuss is the Batman Gotham, the animated series Gotham City Skyline set.
Oh, yes.
Which is like an art set on steroids.
Yes, look, I was really, really excited to see this set.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was given the opportunity to spend $500 on a Dungeons & Dragons set.
I know. I feel like...
And that's got me feeling torn because while the animated series wasn't my childhood Batman, it probably represented the start of my life as a collector.
Mm-hmm.
And I certainly have the entire run of comics from that era. I have most of the action figures, although I only really got two of the Batman variants, but I've managed to pick up the rest of the figures over the years. Some of them are still on their cards, some of them aren't, because, frankly, I just wanted to play with the parachuting Batman and put him in the back of the Batmobile, which had this great little ejecting plane. Yeah, the animated series has a great deal of appeal to me, and I really love the look of the set, but it then just comes down to, is it something that I'd want to spend hundreds of dollars on?
Yeah, it's a really nice looking set, but I think, yeah, side by side with the Dungeons & Dragons set, I think a lot more people are going to pick the Dungeons & Dragons. I'll definitely pick it up eventually. Hopefully it will go on sale, hopefully. And then I'll pounce on that one.
Yeah. I think the thing that I like about it is that it sort of does announce the animated series as source material.
Mm. I think there's going to be a reboot or like a spiritual sequel in the same vein as what we had with X-Men 97, and we've already had one X-Men 97 set. So assuming that Lego's on the ball, and I mean, coming up with a Batman the Animated Series set in 2024 out of nowhere, hopefully we'll see more. Like, I think minifig scale Batman sets would be great.
Yeah. Oh, look, we can only hope.
Mm.
That I was kind of excited to see this, but I'm probably more excited by what it represents,
mm-hmm,
rather than the amount of space that it will occupy on the wall for, $500, the same as the D&D set. I know which set is likely to give me more joy to build,
mm-hmm,
and to play with, and I'm starting to find that I've been playing with my sets far more than I have previously.
Yeah, well, if you love playing with your sets, a D&D set is, it's literally just made to be played with, so.
Well, looks like we've...
It's decided. We're done.
Worked out what I need to try and work out.
Okay, there we go. Awesome.
There we go.
April is looking good, but after April. April's a pretty short month with Easter and school holidays. And then we have May. Well, plenty of Star Wars in May, as usual. And it's a big year indeed for Star Wars as well, with the 25th anniversary of LEGO Star Wars.
Mm.
So, yeah, save up if you're a big Star Wars fan, because we will hopefully be able to see a lot more Star Wars very, very soon.
Yeah, so hopefully we'll start to get some more details of those as the rest of the year drifts, rest of the month, I beg your pardon, drifts by.
All right.
Well, look, perhaps on that bombshell, what you folks don't realise is that this 50-minute episode, in fact, has taken us about an hour and a half, 2 hours to record because of some technical difficulties, and we apologise for the decrease in the quality of the recording in the second half, as I've had to move to my phone because my desktop kept crashing on the Zencastr platform.
Hey, you sound great, so I don't see an issue there.
Oh, it might just sound, in case I'm just sounding a little bit different, that's all.
No, you sound great.
All right. Well, until next time, I'm Richard from The Rambling Brick.
And I'm Jay from Jay's Brick Blog.
And these are the extra pieces. You have been listening to Extra Pieces, a collaboration between Jay's Brick Blog and The Rambling Brick. Your hosts are Jay Ong and Richard Jones. The show is written and produced by Jay Ong and Richard Jones, with audio engineering by Frederick French Pounce. Extra Pieces can be found through your favourite podcasting platforms. Please like and subscribe, and if you like what you hear, please consider giving us a solid 5-star review so that others can find us and share the joy. Some sets discussed on the Extra Pieces podcast are provided by the LEGO Group for review purposes, but all opinions are our own.